ultimate knowledge?
Krishna.
Vedaischa saya vaira aham eva vedam. That is ultimate knowledge. So one who has understood Krishna and Krishna's love, he's dancing. Then what more Vedanta can do? That is the first class realization of Vedanta. Prabhupada was speaking from one verse, Krishnot Kirtana Gananatana Paro. He's speaking about the six Goswamis. And how the six Goswamis, they taught by their example. They said they were preaching to teach us. Apani Achari Prabhu Jivera Shikaya. Simply teaching what we'll not do unless we practice, he says. That is a very important thing, practice. Practical life. Simply quoting verses like Parrot will not be very much beneficial. One must apply. Jnanam Vijnanam Sahitam. Jnana means to know the thing, and Vijnana means to apply the things in practical life. Jnana Vijnana Sahitam. So we must know the Vijnan. How practically? That is taught by the Goswamis. Krishnot Kirtana Gana Nartana. Always chanting the glories of Krishna. Kirtana, Gana, Nartana. Nartana means dancing. Dancing is very good. The more you dance, the more you become light. Means the burden of material contamination becomes reduced. Dancing is so nice. For those of you who want to become light, Prabhupada is giving the recommendation. You dance, you become light. Dancing is so nice. Even if you don't feel ecstasy, if you dance by force, that will also help us. Krishnot Kirtana Gananatana Paro Premambitam Bonidhi. By dancing, 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 we shall develop our dormant Krishna consciousness, love for Krishna. This is nice process. Krishnot Kirtana Gananatana Paro Premambitam Bonidhi. Then you will merge into the ocean of love for Krishna. So this is the highest stage of ecstasy for Krishna consciousness. Always chanting Krishna's name, dancing in ecstasy, and to be merged in the ocean of love for Krishna. These are the perfections. So, Prabhupada is given us the conclusion, the goal of all our study of the Vedas is to chant. And Prabhupada says here also, he says something very nice. He says, even if you do not know the art of dancing, if you simply dance in ecstasy for Krishna's love, that will be appreciated by everyone. This is the art. So this is very, Prabhupada would always emphasize, such a joyful process of chanting. So everyone here always derives great satisfaction, great pleasure in chanting the holy names of the Lord. And ultimately, as Srila Prabhupada explains, that is our perfectional stage of love. If we can actually achieve that in this life, then our life will become perfect. So we should understand the great importance or significance of the holy name of the Lord in our life. And this prayer, this Madhuram Madhurebhyo, just eight verses, I will read them and we'll speak a little bit. Madhuram Madhurebhyo pi Mangalebhyo pi Mangalam Pavanam Pavanebhyo pi Harinam Evi Kevalam. More sweet than all other sweet things, more auspicious than all other auspicious things, the greatest purifier of all purifying things. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. The entire universe, from exalted Brahma down to the lowly clump of grass, is a product of the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. The only thing that is reality, reality, again I say reality, the holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. That person is a true preceptor, or a true father, a true mother, and a true friend also, only if they teach one to always remember the holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. There is no certainty when the last breath will come, and put an abrupt halt to all one's material plans. Therefore, it is wise to always practice chanting from very childhood. The holy name of Shri Hari alone is everything. Lord Hari eternally dwells in that place where truly exalted, spiritually advanced souls sing in the mood of pure devotion. The holy name of Shri Hari alone is everything. Oh, what a sorrow! What a great sorrow! More painful than any other misery in the world. Mistaking it as a mere piece of glass, the people have forgotten this jewel. The holy name of Shri Hari alone is everything. It should be heard again and again with one's ears. It should be uttered over and over with one's voice. It should be perpetually sung and sung anew. The holy name of Shri Hari alone is everything. It makes the entire universe seem insignificant as a blade of grass. It splendorously reigns supreme over all. It is full of eternally conscious divine ecstasy. It is supremely pure. The holy name of Shri Hari alone is everything. So, of course, this is a very advanced realization about the glories of the holy name, as revealed by this Vaishnava who's composed these eight verses in glorification of the holy name. For him, he has full realization how Krishna and his name, they are non-different. And therefore, because he directly perceives Krishna's presence in his name, for him, the holy name of the Lord is everything. Just as Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita that everything is coming from him, everything is resting upon him. Matak parataram nanyat kinchid asti dhananjaya. He says, there's no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me, just like pearls are resting on a thread. Everything is coming from me. This entire material and spiritual world is coming from me. Aham sarvasya prabhava matak savam pravartate iti matva bhajate mam buddha bhava samhanvita. I am the source of material and spiritual worlds. Everything is emanating from me. The wise who know this perfectly, they engage in my devotional service and worship me with all of their hearts. So Krishna is everything. Everything is coming from him. Nothing can exist without him. Everything is resting upon him. So, of course, we understand that although everything is coming from Krishna and resting upon him, still Krishna remains distinct and different from his creation. He's always eternally manifest in his original primeval form, as Lord Brahma states in Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadya Ardya Govinda Sarvakarana Karana. Shri Krishna is the supreme controller. He is the original primeval person. He is an eternal body full of knowledge and bliss, and he is the primary cause of all causes. Everything that is created from him is all simply a transformation of his energies. But Krishna is so very kind, as Lord Chaitanya describes in his Shikshastika prayers, that the Lord has very kindly made himself available personally, accessible, in his holy name. As Lord Chaitanya states that your holy name, the Lord, is non-different. You made yourself so easily accessible to these names such as Krishna, Govinda, etc. In these transcendental names, you invested all of your transcendental potencies. And there's no hard and fast rules for chanting these holy names of the Lord. So the Lord and his name, they are non-different. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Binadva Nama Namino. As described how the holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions because it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of pleasure. The holy name of the Lord is complete and is the form of all transcendental mellows. This holy name of the Lord is not a material name under any circumstances and is never any less powerful than Krishna himself. It is never comes in contact with material nature. It is always eternal and liberated. This is because Krishna and Krishna's name, they are none different. So this Vaishnava who has composed this prayer, I say this Vaishnava because actually it is written by an unknown Vaishnava. Although it is written by an unknown Vaishnava, we can understand that this Vaishnava has understood the conclusions of Gaudiya Siddhanta. There are many examples, even in our own tradition, how Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes in his Harinam Chintamani that he had obtained a manuscript. And when he read this manuscript, although it was from an unknown Vaishnava, he could understand simply by reading this manuscript that this Vaishnava must have had association with Haridas Thakur. And therefore he had taken everything that he had gotten from this manuscript and compiled his book Harinam Chintamani on the basis of this manuscript from an unknown Vaishnava. So by the symptoms, we can see the symptoms of these prayers. We can understand that this Vaishnava is truly understood the conclusions, because for this Vaishnava, he's realized that there's nothing greater, there's no greater treasure in this world than the Holy Name. It's the most sweetest of all sweetest things, the most purifying of all purifying things, the most auspicious of all auspicious things. The Holy Name of Sri Hari alone is everything. So, of course, sometimes we may hear certain statements in the material world. There are many songs that we hear, love songs, persons. In fact, there is even one very famous song, which the words, the lyrics of the song is, "You are everything and everything is you." It's a love song. Right? For this person, he actually is thinking, he's thinking of his beloved. And for him, for his beloved is everything to him. He says, whenever I walk down the street, whenever I see anybody's face, immediately I think of you. So of course, this is a perverted reflection. Although, Rupa Goswami actually, he gives a very nice example. I think it's in Padyavali. He gives the example of a person. He says, one should chant the holy name of the Lord just like a person who's reading a letter from his beloved, which he has been separated from for a great period of time. Yeah. He said that should be the mood a devotee should have when he's chanting the holy name of the Lord. Just like you can imagine, when I think of this prayer actually by Rupa Goswami, I think of maybe an example of like the soldiers in Iraq or something. When they get, you know, they're fighting in the war and then all of a sudden a letter comes, right? They open the letter and they read it again and again and again. And they're reading it, they're trying to feel the presence. The presence of their dearly beloved that they've been separated for so long when reading that letter. And just imagining, envisioning the presence of the person right there speaking directly to them. And that's their mood. They're separated for so long. And what to speak of, separated under very dangerous circumstances, thinking that possibly I may never see them. Rupa Goswami is giving the example that when one chants the holy name of the Lord, that one should actually chant like this also. Just like this person who's reading a letter from his separated beloved. So there is of course some relevance when we speak about the love of the material world. Although we had said that it is a perverted reflection, because of course the love in this material world is not eternal. It must end. And the love that one establishes for the Supreme Personality of Godhead never has to end. It is real love, and as we were speaking about this morning, it is unconditional love, which is not based upon any other motivation than simply to satisfy the beloved. So a devotee who chants the holy name of the Lord with this mood, he's realized, obviously, that for him, there's nothing else in this material world. And therefore, as this Vaishnava states in the second verse of this prayer, he says, all the way from Lord Brahma down to a clump of grass, everything is a product of the illusory energy of the Lord. He said there is only one reality. The entire universe, from exalted Brahma down to the lowly clump of grass, is a product of the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. The only thing that is reality, reality, again I see reality. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur also explains in his Harinam Chintamani, he says there are two realities in the material world. He says there are two realities in the material world is the jiva, the living entity, and the holy name. Everything else is simply a product of the illusory energy of the Lord. And he explains that for the living entity in the material world, when he comes in contact with the holy name of the Lord, he says every object has four characteristics. It has a name, has a form, has qualities, and has activities. In order for it to be understood as a being an object, it must have these four characteristics. So he says, similarly, the Supreme Lord, he has name, he has form, because he is the transcendental object. He is the object of everything, of everyone's life. He is the goal. He is the source of everything. So he is the supreme object. So he has a name, he has a form, he has qualities, and he has activities. He said, but for the living entity, the original characteristic of the Lord is his name. Because by coming in contact with his holy name, of the holy name of the Lord, then by chanting the holy name, gradually one can realize the form of the Lord, the qualities of the Lord, and the pastimes of the Lord all become manifest by first coming in contact with the name. So this holy name, Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtana, the holy name is actually is described as an import from the spiritual world. It is coming from the transcendental abode. It is Krishna himself. Just as Krishna is always transcendental, in Bhagavad Gita Krishna clearly states in so many verses that how he is beyond this material nature. Ajopi san avyatma bhutanam ishvaropi san. He said, although I am unborn, my transcendental body never deteriorates. Although I am the Lord of all sentient beings, still I appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. So Krishna explains how he is always above these three modes of material nature. So just as Krishna is transcendental to the material nature, so the holy name of the Lord is always transcendental. Therefore, one who comes in contact, Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtana, when this holy name of the Lord, which is always transcendental, appears in this material world, how does it appear? It's imported. How is it imported? The devotees of the Lord. That's what he's saying here in the next. That he said that in the next verse, he says, not in the next verse, in the fifth verse, Lord Hari eternally dwells in that place where truly exalted, spiritually advanced souls are always singing the holy name in the mood of pure devotion. They are importing the Lord. When they are chanting the holy name of the Lord with pure devotion, then dancing on their tongue is Krishna, who's come to appear. Prabhupada many times he explains how the Supreme Lord appears in this world. He appears in form of, as we are also speaking this morning, appears in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, how the Lord appears, that is one of his manifestations. And of course, he appears in his holy name. Kali Kali Namarupa Krishna Avatar Namahaita Ihaisava Jagat Nishtara. In the age of Kali, the Lord incarnates in the holy name of the Lord. And anyone who associates with the holy name, it's as good as associating with the Lord directly. And certainly he becomes delivered. So, this holy name of the Lord is always transcendental, always blissful. It is always self-effulgent, just as the sun is always effulgent in the sky. It is never covered by clouds. It is never covered by fog. The sun is always brilliant, always giving off light. Although we may not be always be able to see the sun because our vision may be covered by clouds and by fog, but the sun is never covered. The sun is creating the clouds. And therefore, in the same way, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that this material energy, mama maya duratiya, davi yesha gunamai, mama maya duratiya, mam eva ye prapajante, maya metam tarantite. This divine nature of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, very difficult to overcome. It is Krishna's energy. that is covering us and obstructing us from experiencing that truly effulgent holy name of the Lord. But of course, we can remove that covering. Krishna says, if you surrender, I will remove the covering, I will remove all the obstacles, I will remove the clouds from your vision, so that you may see always that the sun is always bright, just as the holy name of the Lord is always transcendentally blissful. The holy name, form, activities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord, they are always transcendentally sweet, just like sugar cane, as Rupa Goswami explains. But one who has been afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, he cannot taste anything sweet. But it is very wonderful that if one very carefully chants these sweet names of Krishna every day, then a natural relish will awaken with his tongue and his disease will become destroyed at the root. So Rupa Goswami is explaining that for one who has been afflicted by this jaundice of avidya, he cannot taste anything sweet. If any of you ever had jaundice, right? You take sugar, it is very, very bitter. Very bitter. But it is recommended you eat sugar and it will take away the disease gradually. You have to tolerate the bitterness and then gradually it becomes sweet as you become cured. So Rupa Goswami says that one who has been afflicted by the jaundice of avidya cannot taste anything sweet, although sugar by nature is sweet. Krishna's name by nature is so sweet. Madhuram madurebhyopi is the sweetest of all sweetest things. Sometimes we're hankering for something sweet, right? Looking for the maha sweets or something. Of course, that is Krishna also. But even sweeter is the holy name. So sweet. But how to taste the sweetness? We have to cure the disease. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, carefully chanting, very carefully chanting these sweet names every day, then what happens? A natural relish will appear upon the tongue, and this disease will become destroyed at the root. So therefore, the holy name, when appears within this world, by the mercy of the Supreme Lord and by the mercy of the devotees of the Lord, who are the transcendental importers, they are bringing that transcendental holy name, that transcendental vibration, when vibrated upon their lips, they're actually bringing forward Krishna, who's manifesting in this transcendental sound vibration. Prabhupada says that in his commentary on the Hare Krishna mantra. The chanting must be heard from the lips of the pure devotee, right? He says, and when it's heard in this way, then it has a powerful effect is there. It acts upon the ear, it acts upon the heart. Just as Bhagavatam states, Satam prasangam mamavirya sambhado bivanti hritkana rasayana kata. Taj Joshan Adashva Prabhagavat Manishwadharati Bhakti Ranukramishati. Discussions of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Lord, they're very pleasing to the ear and to the heart when heard in the association of devotees. Satam prasangam mamavirya sambhado. In the association of devotees, it becomes very, very sweet. Prabhupada would always give that example of how Shukadev Goswami, by his recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, he is also chanting. Chanting Krishna's names means chanting the holy name of the Lord, means also chanting the glories of the Lord. It is also non-different from chanting. There is Leela Sankirtan, there is Nam Sankirtan, there is Leela Sankirtan also. Chanting the glories of the holy name of the Lord by describing his pastimes. So when Shukadev Goswami speaks Srimad Bhagavatam, what happens? It becomes very sweet. Right? Makes it even sweeter. Just as the parrot, when biting into the fruit, makes the fruit sweeter. In the same way, when the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam speaks with realization, when he speaks understanding how the Lord is present in his name, then what happens is that it makes it even sweeter. In this way, it is described that the devotees, they are the transcendental importers, and they are helping us to understand, as this Vaishnava is saying, that person is a true preceptor, a true father, a true mother, and true friend, also, only, if they teach one to always remember that the holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. Right? He's giving us, he's establishing, certifying who is our best friend, who is our best preceptor, who is our best father, mother. When they're teaching us that, yes, here is the greatest gift. Take this gift. As Srila Prabhupada, when he came to the West, what did he give? He sat simply with his little drum, Tompkins Square Park. There's a nice monument there in that place where Srila Prabhupada sat in New York City, right? Establishing it as such a sacred place of pilgrimage. He sat there with his little drum, and what was he giving? The greatest gift to the world. He didn't have anything fancy to distribute the holy name of the Lord, right? Prabhupada actually states, I'm going back, going to different places, but it's a very nice point Prabhupada makes in this, what I was reading from before. He says, we have practical experience. When there is Krishna Kirtan, people, all classes of people, become very much pleased and they join. As soon as your kirtan will be pure Sankirtan, not artificial, not professional. There are many professionals, dancers, that will not attract. But even if you do not know the art of dancing, if you simply dance in ecstasy for Krishna's love, that will be appreciated by everyone. That will be appreciated by everyone. Prabhupada is saying, when devotee is chanting for Krishna's love, when your Sankirtan is pure, everyone will become attracted. So Prabhupada was sitting, chanting. Nothing professional. No professional backup band. Nothing was there. Just the pure vibration coming from the lips of the pure devotee. Right? And Prabhupada said, Dira Dira Janapriyo, even the gentle and the ruffians, they will also be attracted. Prabhupada, who did he attract? Well, he's sitting in the village in New York City. He actually demonstrated. Prabhupada in his diary, I was reading once, he wrote a very nice entry in his diary back in 1966. Maybe you can help me, I can't remember the exact quote. He was saying that, today we have experienced the mercy of the holy name of the Lord. And he said, just as Lord Chaitanya would chant the holy name of the Lord, and even the animals, they would chant and dance. He said, today we have experienced how we have come, these American boys and girls, they have come hearing and chanting the holy name of the Lord. And now we are seeing the great power of Lord Chaitanya's movement, the great power of Lord Chaitanya's benediction. That he's actually saying indirectly right in his diary that people were coming like animals, they were coming, but he was personally witnessing before his eyes the great potency of the holy name, that these animals are coming forward and chanting and dancing. Is that the quote? Something like that in his diary in 1966. So therefore he said, but then he also said, but it is not my credit, he said. He said, it is all the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, therefore we see Prabhupada, who is the greatest preceptor, the greatest teacher, the greatest friend, father, mother, everything. Because he's teaching us right from the very beginning that the most valuable gift, most valuable possession that you can hold on, right, is the holy name. Just as Prabhupada would give that example, quoting that in the Bhagavatam, in the purport, he gives that example about Sanatana Goswami and the touchstone. Same principle, right? When the beggar heard that Sanatana Goswami had a touchstone in his possession, he was decided he would go and try to obtain this touchstone. So he asked him, please, I've heard you had a very valuable touchstone. Where is it? And Sanatana Goswami said, it is over there in the refuse. So the beggar was thinking, oh, it's over there. He said, can I have it? He said, sure, go. It's there in the refuse. So the beggar went and took the touchstone, and as he was walking away with it, he was thinking, huh? What is this? Sanatana Goswami is keeping this touchstone in the refuse. If he's keeping it in the refuse, he must have something more valuable. I want it. So he went back to Sanatana Goswami and he asked, you must have something more valuable. Otherwise, why have you kept this in the refuse? Sanatana Goswami said, yes, I have something more valuable. But if you want it, then you have to take this touchstone and you have to go to the river and throw it in the river and then come back. I'll give you that which is more valuable. So the beggar, he was very eager to get something more valuable. So he went to the river and threw the touchstone and came back and said, "Now, am I qualified? Please give me what is more valuable." Sanatana Goswami said, "Yes, this is the most valuable." And he initiated in the holy name of the Lord. Again, same example. Nothing more valuable. We may think touchstone is valuable. But yet, here in this prayer also, this Vaishnava is saying, he's lamenting. "Oh, what sorrow," he says, "what a great sorrow. More painful than any other misery in the whole world. Mistaking it as a mere piece of glass, the people have forgotten this jewel. The holy name of the Lord, Hari, of Sri Hari alone is everything." He's lamenting in this way. What greater lamentation, he's saying, it is, that although this is the most valuable jewel, most people do not recognize it. They're mistaking it simply as some piece of broken glass. Which reminds me of that nice story that Sachinanda Maharaj tells in his Nectar, what is it? Nectarian Ocean of the Holy Name of the Lord. He tells the story about the disciple who wanted to get the most valuable instruction, confidential instruction from his spiritual master. Right? So he asked his spiritual master, "Please, give me whatever, what you have, give me the most confidential instruction that you possibly have." So his spiritual master instructed him in the glories of the holy name of the Lord. And the disciple, upon hearing these instructions from his spiritual master, was thinking, "Now I have something so confidential. I've been given the most rare, valuable jewel, gift, and it's very confidential between my spiritual master and me." So while he was leaving the ashram and he was walking, he saw some washerwomen. They were washing some cloth. And they were beating the cloth with stone. And while they were beating and washing, he heard, "What is this?" They were chanting Hare Krishna while they were washing their clothes. He began to think, "How is it they were chanting Hare Krishna? I thought my spiritual master gave me something confidential." So he continued walking and he saw some fishermen. And the fishermen were hauling in nets. And while they were hauling in the nets, they were chanting Hare Krishna. "What is this?" Chanting Hare Krishna. And then he continued his walk, he saw some young boys playing ball. And while they were playing ball, they were chanting Hare Krishna. He said, "That's it. I have to go back. Again, I have to get this clarified. What is this? I thought I got something so confidential. And now I just simply on my mere walk, I'm seeing washerwomen, fishermen, young boys, they're chanting Hare Krishna." So he went back and spoke to his spiritual master and said, "Please, tell me. What is it? Can you explain to me? I thought you gave me some confidential instruction. I saw these washerwomen, these fishermen, these young boys." So the spiritual master, instead of explaining everything to him, he gave them a very valuable jewel, a stone. He said, "You take this very valuable stone." He said, "You bring it back to them and see if they can appreciate its value and give you something of equal value in return." So the disciple, he went first to the washerwomen. And they were very simple village women. They did not know anything about valuable stones. He didn't tell them what it was. He just simply showed them. And they looked at it and said, "Oh yes, we can use it." And they started to beat their clothes with it. So the disciple, he understood, "Oh, they don't understand the great value of this stone." So he took it back and he went to the fishermen. He showed them the stone and the fishermen looked at it and they also knew nothing about valuable stones. They thought they could use it as a weight for their fishing nets. So they were going to tie it to the nets and throw it out into the ocean to catch fish. The disciple could understand, "No, they don't understand either." So he went to the young boys and he showed the young boys. And the boys, they also could not appreciate. They did not understand. They took it and they thought, "Maybe the world, we can use it as a ball and play catch." So then the disciple went back to the spiritual master. And the spiritual master said, "So, did they appreciate the value of this stone? Did they recognize its value?" And the disciple said, "No, they could not understand. They could not appreciate its value." So then the spiritual master, he said, similarly, many people may chant Hare Krishna, but they'll remain indifferent to the holy name of the Lord. So he instructed his disciple in this way, that yes, although the holy name may be accessible, one should not remain indifferent. One should know the real value of the holy name of the Lord. When one hears, one hears the truth, the glories of the holy name of the Lord, just as it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that one has to learn about the truth and beauty of the Lord's holy name by hearing the revealed scriptures from the mouths of Vaishnavas. There's no other way to taste the sweetness of the Lord's holy name. Right? So when he brought the stone to the washerwomen, and he brought him to the fishermen, he didn't describe anything. They knew nothing. And therefore they could not recognize its value. But the spiritual master had instructed his disciple in the glories of the holy name of the Lord. And therefore, because he had received the confidential teachings of the glories of the holy name of the Lord, it is understood that he should appreciate the great value of the holy name of the Lord and not remain indifferent to the holy name. Therefore, one has to hear such prayers as this to understand the true glories of the holy name. And then, when one understands how the holy name of the Lord is supposed to be everything for us, it's our connection to the spiritual world, it's our connection with the spiritual master, it is our connection, it is our means for going back home, back to Godhead. As described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the holy name of Krishna will bring one to the lotus feet of Krishna. Could there be anything more valuable? Could there be any greater gift that one can possibly obtain in this life than to receive the gift of the pure holy name of the Lord? It brings one to the lotus feet of the Lord. Therefore, one who understands that he's received such a great gift, he'll never remain indifferent. He'll always chant the holy names of the Lord with great enthusiasm, with great determination, with a great desire to achieve the full perfection of chanting the holy name of the Lord, to realize how the holy name of the Lord Hari is everything. That should be our aspiration in this life. And fortunate is that person who's received the great gift of the holy name of the Lord. And fortunate is that person who, upon obtaining that holy name of the Lord, he chants the holy name of the Lord with great faith. Great faith. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Shravan Janhe. Yeah? He's appealing to those, O men of faith, great faith. Shravan. Take this holy name of Krishna. Make your life perfect. Chant these names with complete faith and with a desire to clean the heart and to achieve the lotus feet of the Lord. And ultimately you will realize how Krishna and His holy name, they are non-different. This is the great glory that is available to us. We are so fortunate to have received this most valuable gift of the holy name of the Lord. And if we go on chanting with great enthusiasm these names in kirtan, in the association of Vaishnavas, and also chanting with our beads very attentively, chanting very, very attentively, always carefully, trying to avoid the offenses to the holy name of the Lord every day, chanting, and then gradually we'll begin to experience this cheto dharpana majanam, this cleansing that will take place within the heart, and the Lord will reveal Himself fully to our eyes and within our hearts, how He is personally manifest in this holy name of the Lord. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Maharaj, would you like to say something?
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi paschatyate sakharine vanshakalpatarupyascha kripasindubhya evacha patitanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Thank you, Maharaj. Let us very enthusiastically offer our gratitude to His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj.
Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam. Kalo nasteva 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 gatir anyatha. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke this verse to Prakashananda Saraswati, who is powerful learned scholar, who had tens and thousands of disciples who were sannyasis of the Mayavad school. He was like an emperor amongst renunciates, so deeply learned in Vedas. He challenged Lord Chaitanya, "Why you are singing and dancing with all low-class sentimental people? Why you do not come in our section and study Vedanta and discuss such subjects? After all, you are sannyas of our line. Come, be amongst your comrades." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although the supreme, all-powerful cause of all causes, accepted such a humble position. He said, "My Guru Maharaj told me that I am not qualified to study Vedanta. What will I learn? Very difficult subject." He told me that I will realize everything by simply chanting the holy names. And then my Guru Maharaj gave me this precious jewel of a verse and told me to keep it with me always within my heart. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam. Kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatir anyata. That in this age of Kali there is no other way except the chanting of the holy names of Lord Hari. And I have taken that instruction as my life. My Guru Maharaj told me that you take this name. And I started chanting. And tears were flowing from my eyes, my hairs were standing on end, my voice was choked up, my limbs were trembling. I'm becoming mad. What is this name doing to me? So I went to my Gurudev and asked him, "What's happening?" He said, "Very nice, my son. You have attained perfection." That is the power of the holy name. Nothing else has this power to awaken the dormant, ecstatic love of God from our very heart, to awaken the sleeping soul. Jeev jago, gora chandra bole, kota nitra jayo maya pisa chira kole. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he roamed from town to town and village to village with this message: "Wake up, sleeping souls. You are all eternal servants of Krishna. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajya Kabunai Sravanadi Sudhi Chiti Koriya Yudhoi. The love of God, which is the only true happiness of the soul, is dormant within your heart. But you are sleeping. You are sleeping in a vast dream on the lap of Maya. Wake up. Mukunda Madhava Hari. And he taught, this is how we wake up. By loudly chanting the Lord's names, by hearing the Lord's names in the association of devotees. There's no other way in the age of Kali. What a supreme benediction. Daivihe shugunamayi mama maya duratyaya mam evam ye papadyante maya metatiramtite. Krishna warns us that this divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. Maya is Krishna's energy, his external energy. It is all powerful. The tatastha shakti, jiva atma, our only free will is either to be utterly controlled and subjugated by Maya and tossed around in these waves of the material ocean, or to be completely subordinate and dependent on the gracious, all-attractive love of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is our choice. Prabhupada uses example of how the cat holds the rat in its mouth and her beloved kitten in its mouth. It's the same cat, the same mouth, but there's a difference. For the rat, the cat is death personified. For the kitten, the cat is the most loving, affectionate mother. The rat is always trying to figure out every type of way to escape from the cat. But the kitten is always seeking shelter of the cat. If the little kitten does not see the cat for even a minute, it's an anxiety, feeling alone, unprotected, trying to find her beloved, caring mother to protect and nourish her. So the conditioned souls are like the rat. We're trying to escape the shelter of Krishna. And therefore, Krishna manifests as Maya, the external energy, and ultimately as death personified. Krishna is non-different than his name. Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. Krishna has descended within his name to give us shelter. He is incarnated within the name to give us shelter, to nourish us, and to reveal all of his love to us. Because the name of Krishna, Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasvigraha, it is the most precious Chintamani jewel of creation. There is nothing so precious, because nothing else can give us the benediction of eternal life and eternal love. But we must understand the value of chanting Krishna's names. And it is for this reason His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj has come to this extraordinary city of Bombay to enlighten us in the supreme value of the holy name. One of the greatest misfortunes is if you have something great but you do not understand its value. You'll waste it. You will not take the full advantage of it. You'll take it as something ordinary and you'll think that things have no real value at all are more important. But that's what we're doing every day. When we're trying to chant the holy name, the mind is wandering to so many ideas, so many thoughts, so many desires, so many aspirations, which really means your mind is trying to deceive you to think that to fix its attention on something else will give you a greater value than keeping it in Krishna's name. And this is how Maya, through our mind, is stealing away our life. Moment by moment. When we understand with faith the power and glory of Krishna's name, then only can we take shelter. Otherwise, our chanting is casual or perhaps ritualistic, inattentive. Two things are very important. A very mature and honest understanding of the dangers and sufferings of material existence, and faith that the holy name of God has descended to give us supreme shelter. What is the power of material existence? What arrangement can we make to come out of its miseries? Janma mrityu jara dhari dukata. Birth, old age, disease, and death. Everything in this material world is temporary, therefore it is a miserable place. How does Maya keep us trapped to remain in this miserable network? Dukalayam ashashvatam. By putting us in the illusion that we can find happiness. She gives us enough happiness to keep us entangled where we don't really want to get out. Study the power of material existence. Bhumirapo nalo vayu kamano buddhar eva cha ahankara I. There are eight material elements. Any one of these elements can cause mass destruction at any moment. We hear it, but we don't believe it. If we believed it, we would surrender to Krishna today. But we don't really take it seriously. But it is a fact. It is all around us. Air. Or let us take ether. Ether is just the atmosphere. Or air, such a subtle element. If there's a little too much ether or air, we suffocate and die. Yes, people die of suffocation. They just don't get quite enough air. And what happens if there's too much air? Cyclones, hurricanes, tornadoes. The most powerful material country in the world, America, just earlier this year, was rampaged by hurricanes, one after another after another. Hurricanes are cyclones. It's nothing but air. just swirling air that just goes out of control. Actually, it's in control. It's out of our control. But it's perfectly under the control of Maya Devi. And when these hurricanes are coming, massive damage. One hurricane, billions of dollars of damage. Sometimes hundreds or thousands of people dead. A few years ago when this one hurricane was heading toward Nassau or Cape Kennedy, yes? One of the most expensive scientific technological enterprises in all America. This is the place where they invent and put rocket ships into space. And all kinds of experimentation with other types of very high technology of weapons and so forth. And when this hurricane was heading toward it, what did they do? Did they shoot their rockets at the hurricane? No, they all ran away. They evacuated to a safe place. The President of the United States said, close the place and get out or you'll die. Haribo. That is the power of just one little swirling piece of wind. And fire. I'm from Chicago, so is Trinakarta Prabhu. Last century, there was an old lady named Mrs. O'Leary, and she was milking her cow. And after milking, she went to the to go to sleep. But she left her lantern, and the cow kicked over the lantern. The cow must have known it. Krishna threw the cow, because Chicago would be later on the largest place in the world for slaughtering cows. The stockyards. Yes? Union stockyards. Millions of cows. So, sweet revenge. That cow just kicked the lantern, set fire to the hay. The entire city of Chicago burned to the ground. Shri Krishna Bhagavan Ki! You're not supposed to be so happy about that. I was testing you. Para dukha dukhi. We're supposed to feel compassion. But actually, one little, all it was a flame this big. Not all. What's in a lantern? A flame this big. But one little flame like that became such a fire that all the fire departments and everybody, they were fighting, but they couldn't do anything. All they could do is run away or die. And whether you were a multimillionaire in a big, beautiful mansion on Michigan Avenue or whether you're just living in some ghetto, everything burned to ashes. The power of fire. There's forest fires every year that blaze sometimes for months. And there's nothing they could do except just pray to God to send rain. Hare Krishna. So while we're talking about water, well, first let's talk about earth. Earthquake. It's just earth. What's an earthquake? The earth just moves. That's all. Yes? It's really a simple thing. If you were living on another planet and you heard about an earthquake and analyzed it, it's no big thing. The earth just moves. There's one little part of the earth, maybe a few miles long, just goes like this. And buildings are falling and bridges are breaking and people are dying and being crushed. Sometimes by the thousands and thousands. There was an earthquake in Mexico City. Thousands and thousands of people died within seconds. Latur, Gujarat. What is it? The power of earth. Just one little movement. It just moves a little. Mass destruction. Now, what if it moved a lot? There would be no life left to talk about it. And water. If there's not enough water, there's drought. There's no possibility of survival. If there's too much water, flood, devastation. The crops are destroyed. Cities are just... Every year, I have seen in Bombay, the most economically powerful city in all of India, and becoming a giant in the world. But one cloud just pours down water, and the city is paralyzed. You have seen? The trains stop, the airport stops, the traffic stops. Except Srinath, she has a submarine car that can take you through that rain. He's very expert. I had to go to airport. It was huge monsoon storm, massive monsoon storm. And the water was so deep that people, even in their big, beautiful cars, they just left it and were just walking barefoot. There was no taxis. There was no anything. They had to walk miles and miles and miles. And Srinathji was driving through it all. We were the only vehicle that worked. Some mystic power. But it was our pleasure to be going. But everybody else, because as we were going, wherever it went, because it was creating, you know, when a car moves through water, just everybody around was practically getting knocked down by the water that was being coming from the car as it was moving. Yes? So water. Now we have just seen what a little combination between earth and water can do to the world. It's a tragedy. It's a crisis that we weep over. But we should also understand. Padam padam vipadam na teisham. It's serious. There's danger at every step in this world. When water goes a little bit out of control, utter devastation. Tidal wave. Hundreds and thousands of dead, billions of dollars of property destroyed, so much suffering. And this is the elements that God has given to actually sustain the planet. But when there's massive sinful activities, the very gifts of God that sustain our lives react in a massive way to create destruction. And the bombs that people are building, what is it? It's just the fine elements of God's creation being put together by the minds of human beings to be weapons that can destroy tens of millions within seconds. It's not man's power. It's the power of nature. Man is just trying to manipulate the powers of nature. And what does he manipulate with it? The mind, which is another element of nature. When the mind is uncontrolled, Krishna says, it is the best friend. But what is the mind when it is not controlled? Does anyone know? Your best friend? The only enemy. The worst and only enemy is our own mind. See what utter havoc human beings have created in this world because they allow the mind to go out of control. And the worst tragedy, that this uncontrolled mind steals our consciousness away from Krishna. And that is the beginning, the essence of all suffering. Mantra means that divine sound vibration that reconnects the mind to God, that actually brings about a healthy, peaceful mind, our best friend. Dinahina yapachilo harinamu dharilo tara sakshi jagai madhai. This is the power of the name. Even demons like Jagai and Madhai become pure and humble servants of the Lord, dance in ecstasy while chanting the Maha Mantra. In this age of Kali, a tsunami, tidal wave of ignorance has just devastated, and flooded the shore of humanity. What is ignorance? To not understand that I am the eternal soul. And I have an eternal relationship as a servant to Krishna. And this material existence is Krishna's energy meant to be used in harmony with His will. That is knowledge. Ignorance means to think I am this body, I am the enjoyer, and this world is mine to enjoy and control. The tidal wave of this ignorance has crushed human society and devastated morality, ethics, and spiritual values practically completely. And there is great need for relief work. When the tidal wave of water hits, we see what type of devastation. And it's every human being's duty to help his brothers and sisters. People suffer because we're egoistic and selfish. Srila Prabhupada, one man from India, went around the world 13 times to give the charity of the holy name. When there's devastation, if we have something, it's our duty to help others. But this tidal wave of ignorance, it's devastated human values throughout the world. People are becoming drug addicts, alcoholics, suicidal, wasting their lives in greed for money, in lust for sex, frustrated for intoxications. And this is considered to be high society. This is considered to be culture. What is this nonsense culture? Culture is the humility, the morality, and the wisdom of the heart, expressed through lifestyle and arts. That is culture. Not how you dress or what music you listen to. I was discussing earlier today that one of our dear godbrothers from Germany told me how his family was at one time friends with one of Hitler's number two men,
Himmler, if any of you know about that regime. He was one of the mastermind demons that was responsible for ordering and murdering tens of millions of people. Innocent. That was his work. But in his private life, he was considered to be such a cultured gentleman. He wore the finest clothes. He had all the mannerisms of politeness, the etiquette of speaking in nice, respectful ways to others. He knew how to eat according to the very aristocratic manners. He was a patron of the fine arts. He loved classical music and gave so much charity to promote classical music and poetry and theater. From every materialistic way of looking at what we consider culture, he was a very cultured gentleman. He spoke sweetly. And he did all the things that the high echelons of cultural society respects and adores. But in his heart, he was such a ruthless murderer that he slaughtered millions of innocent children, women, and helpless men, even in old age, tortured. Kali Yuga is the age of superficialities. People do some religious rituals. People give in a little charity and they act in a very sophisticated, cultured way. And people think they're great. But behind the scenes, they're lying, they're cheating, and for their own wealth or greed, they don't care if they crush other people's lives and leave them with nothing. This is Kali Yuga. People are so pathetically superficial. What is substance? The substance is the character and the values of a person's heart. And that is what makes a person great. Yad yad acharati sthrestasthat tat evetadojana sayat pramanam kurute lokasthadanavartate.
What great people do, the common people will follow. Look at Kali Yuga. What kind of a tidal wave of devastation has come upon us throughout the world? The leaders of the society who people all over the world are trying to follow their example and imitate are people of low character. People with physical power, athletes. Now actually, if a person's a great athlete and by his example and words is teaching values, morality, and spirituality, that's a great thing. But so many of them, they're just greedy for money. They're drunkards, they're woman hunters. Taking intoxications. These are the great heroes of today. Athletes. Many have no moral values whatsoever. And who are even greater than the athletes? The cinema stars and television stars. So powerful is their influence. I spoke before. There was a great actor in the 1950s and 1940s and 50s. He smoked a cigarette and it looked so sophisticated the way it would hang from his mouth. And he would talk while smoking that cigarette. And he would make love while smoking that cigarette. And he would shoot people dead while smoking that cigarette. Millions of Americans and Europeans started smoking cigarettes and holding it the same way. He's their hero. We must be like him. Yes. I spoke with a big person from the television industry in America some years ago, and he told me that practically all of these people are so degraded. But they love to put a masquerade that they look very nice. So selfish, so egoistic. So much immorality. The profession is not bad. What is good or bad is one's character. So yes, these are the people who people want to become like, who want to imitate. These are the heroes of Kali Yuga, or sometimes politicians who'll do anything to gain power and stay in power. I'm not saying they're all like that. There are good, honest politicians too somewhere. All respects to any good politician. But many? They will look very charitable and nice and kind to get the votes. But behind the scenes, what they may do to gain their power and keep their power. So much corruption. So this is the age of Kali, where the leaders and heroes of society are generating the wrong message. And therefore the masses are lost, devastated of practically all good qualities. Krishna tells, religion is taken to be irreligion, and irreligion is taken to be religion. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told us this tidal wave of ignorance has hit the earth in a most powerful way, and the inner virtues of humanity are devastated. There must be relief work. Therefore, Bharata Bhumite Hoila Manusya Janma Jar Janma Sartarka Sarataka Kara Kara Para Upakar. We need welfare in this work. He ordered every person in India, and he ordered every one of his followers, be an instrument of compassion. We have heard from Niranjan Swami Maharaj the priceless value of the holy name. We have it. It's given to us. Why are we lusty and passionate for the broken glass of this world? However it sparkles and shines, if you become attached to that glass, it's going to cut you and make you bleed in your heart. It's a warning, and it's true. So yes, we must understand, what is this age of Kali? What is the condition of our own heart, and what is the condition of the world? And we must also understand what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared to be the prime benediction for all humanity. Nam nam akari bahuda nija sarva shaktis. Krishna has descended with all of his power, with all of his beauty and sweetness, the full-fledged love of God is to be realized in chanting his holy names.
thus Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has told us. Niranjan Swami Maharaj sang this song so beautifully last night. That the essence of all religion is to show compassion to others, especially by broadcasting the glories of the holy name. To chant the holy name, to serve the Vaishnavas, and to show compassion to others is the essence of all religion. And what is the greatest compassion we could do? Physically, we show compassion by doing welfare work for those who are suffering. Emotionally, we show compassion by encouraging people, by kindness to others. Spiritually, which is foundational to everything else, spiritually we show compassion by trying to give people an understanding of the priceless value of Krishna's name. So that when we chant, we actually take shelter. The name of the Lord is avatar of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught in every state of his life from his infancy. He would cry to induce everyone to chant. Wake up, sleeping souls. The holy name has descended with all powers to bestow Anandam Buddhivaradhanam, the inner fulfillment that everyone is searching for. And there are no hard and fast rules for chanting. That is why it is so suitable for Kali Yuga. Yajna, so many hard and fast rules. Meditation, so to do it properly, so many hard and fast rules. Deity worship, many hard and fast rules. Who could do it in Kali? But in every time, in any place, even if you are a chandala, aho bata swapacho togariyam yajjivagri vartate namatubhyam. Even a chandala who has no education whatsoever, who's just trampled on by egoistic society as being worthless, outcast, even that person, if he simply has faith in the holy name and takes shelter in the holy name, that person, Kapila Dev says, Mahaprabhu says, and all the great Brahmins and Rishis who know the truth say that that chandala will not only be able to completely purify himself, but could be the guru for the entire world. Is it the chandala's power? That is the power of the holy name. No hard and fast rules. And it's for everyone. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood so much sinfulness, egoism, and vain superstitions in the name of religion were just haunting the people of Bengal. Therefore, he told Nityananda Prabhu and his associates, go there like a madman and save them. Don't consider who's fit or unfit, because if you consider that, you'll have nothing to do. With the tidal wave of Nam Sankirtan, devastate all lust, envy, anger, greed, pride, illusion, all ignorance. Wash the heart clean and allow the pure essence of love to awaken. That is the benediction of chanting the holy name. When Srila Prabhupada came to New York City, he had no money. 40 rupees which could not be converted. He had nothing. He did not have a healthy body. He had an old, sickly body, materially, at least appeared that way. He had no wealth. He had no kind. He had nothing. He had a box of books. And what did those books tell? Those books told the whole philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam with culminates in the last verse of Bhagavatam, that in this age of Kali, the only hope is bowing down with humility to the Lord and chanting His holy names. All he had was faith in the holy name and the compassionate order of his guru to spread the holy name all over the world and see the power. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Would you like to speak a few words?
Hare Krishna. This is a great time to be in Chaupati. It seems like it's been a constant transcendental party the last week. But I was thinking of when Maharaj was talking about dancing in kirtan. And one devotee asked Prabhupada, he said, "How I don't feel ecstasy when I dance in kirtan, so what to do?" The Prabhupada said, "You keep dancing. And gradually this ecstasy will come." And it's a fact. You know, we have to sometimes be aggressive to dance for Krishna. And not that we want to make a display. Krishna says all that you do, all you eat, as well as you offer and give away, as well as all austerity you perform, you do as an offering for me. So we can dance for Krishna in such a way that Krishna will see us and we'll feel ecstasy. This is the process. It's not like anybody's going to force you to dance. You have to try to do it on your own, and this ecstasy will come. In America, they have Western movies. You know about Western movies? And sometimes they would tell a guy to humiliate him. They would shoot bullets at his feet and say, "Dance, dance." So nobody's going to force you like that to dance for Krishna. So we have to try to dance on our own, and gradually we'll feel this ecstasy. Be a little transcendentally aggressive. There was one Mataji in Chicago, I remember back in the Sankirtan, back in the 70s, and Jagadatri Devi Dasi. She asked Srila Prabhupada a question when Prabhupada was in Chicago. She said, "Srila Prabhupada, as women, we're taught to be humble and meek and all these qualities of women. So how is it that when we go out to the airport that we're supposed to be aggressive?" And Prabhupada said, "Just like when you go to the airport and there's a man sitting in a chair and he's sleeping or whatever, and you go up to him and say, 'Please, wake up. Take this book. Jeev Jago, get out of ignorance.'" All right? So Prabhupada said, this is aggressiveness for Krishna, for preaching Krishna consciousness. It's transcendental. But then when you come back to the temple, you have to reverse your role, become humble and meek. Wear this necklace of Trinadapi Suni Chena around your neck. And so that's a nice process. It makes Krishna consciousness very ecstatic. And then you have aggressors on the other side, people who are aggressive thieves, right? They steal and plunder, but then they talk about morality, isn't it? Some thieves may plunder a village, and then they go out into the forest to divide up all their riches. And one thief will say, "Now let's divide this up morally." The Europeans came to America, right? And what did they do? They plundered, they killed the poor Indians, cheated them out of land for some beads and this and that. And now, the Americans, they talk about morality. but they're killing every year so many cows, so many babies, polluting the air, right? Polluting the water. So we have a great opportunity in Krishna consciousness by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the mercy of Srila Prabhupada to give the world a little light. They're simply in darkness. And what is that light? Hari Nam, Hari Nam, Eva Kevalam, Kalonastev, Nastev, Nastev. Gatya Anyata. There's no other way than to getting a taste for the holy names, right? We can learn so much scripture. We can learn, have so much gyan, and it's good. We should learn as devotees for preaching. But really, we should aim, our aim should be getting a taste for the holy names. So we can dance in ecstasy and feel transcendental joy and happiness. Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture in Hawaii one time. And he gave a very deep philosophical lecture. And then at the end of the lecture, Srila Prabhupada closed the book. And he said, what is the use of all this philosophy? We simply want to know what is in Krishna's lunch basket. So we need to, you know, again, develop this taste for chanting Hare Krishna. And of course it comes first and foremost through our humility, our service attitude towards Vaishnavas. And then Krishna will see us. And then we'll automatically want to dance in kirtan and feel this transcendental joy. So these two great Maharajas, Radhanath Swami and Maharajas, are so wonderful. It's hard; they're a very hard act to follow. So I'll stop here and we can all chant Hare Krishna, dance, Hare Bol.
Here, another sweet.